from your home of, hey, it's a long season, and hey, we're maybe just a trade away, semi-live from Studio A. This is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
You doing well?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, good, man. Me too. Yeah. Good. And you look outside. It's snowing. It's a Tuesday evening once again. And yeah.
And I think there's talking maybe thunderstorms overnight.
we are going to hit 60 tomorrow.
Yeah,
we're hitting that really sweet spot of spring where you can almost feel it, and then it's
almost,
and then it snows.
And then it pulls it away.
Yeah.
It's number one fake spring.
Yeah. You think this is the second? I feel like we're in at least the third one. It was 60. It was almost 70 the other day.
Yeah,
on
maybe
Saturday.
Second.
Yeah, yeah, we're in second spring.
Yeah.
False spring as it is. Still sports season.
It is.
It officially became my sports season.
Oh, yeah.
At the beginning of the week.
For what?
Last. Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That sport.
That is the sport. It is. My first love was the Brewers. Listening to Euchre on the radio as a kid. Watching, watching Paul Molitor, listening to things about Robin Yount, and then the glory year. Yeah, no. The Brewers started their season strong.
Yep.
Oh well, I mean, even stronger than that. Not only are they currently 0-4,
really strong,
super strong. Their first three pitches that they threw opening day were all hit for home runs.
Nice.
Yeah, not great for Freddie Peralta. Yeah, Freddie Peralta. The Brewers lost 20-7 at a certain point during. Yeah, no, they got swept by the Yankees three games in a row.
Yep.
Did not look. They were close in one of them. They were close. But when you're losing games 11-1, they lost. If you look at their scores for the.
Yeah,
go. You can read that off. They
the
lost.
Royals.
They lost to the Royals yesterday 11-1. Had the misfortune of listening on the radio
right
to
now.
An inning of that. They were ahead today. Tuesday evening,
yep.
By their second game.
Middle of the fourth right now.
Their home opener, which, of course, it's snowing for their home opener. Roofs closed, I assume. They finally got a lead. It was the first time that they haven't actually never even been tied up until it was 0-0 in the game earlier. They finally got themselves at least ahead. They are,
yeah.
I mean, oh, and getting two up. Or getting two down about an 0-4 start is like deciding after the opening series of the first game for the Vikings after they punt that well the
Why
season.
Why do you have to bring that into it?
Well, because the Packers would never do that. And as a Vikings fan, you can maybe even well the season's done, where you can cash it in early. The optimism of a Vikings fan is always fun to watch.
Yeah.
Or as a, as an any fan. Yeah, you're in the opening quarter of the opening drive and you fumbled. Basically, you fumbled on the opening drive. Doesn't mean your season is shot.
It's a work in progress.
But it really does make, yeah. The only way is, it's only up from here, maybe you can say. You could say, you could say things like, well, their pitching staff is really rough. And their pitching staff is really, really, really rough. To start the season, the Brewers, I think they had about 48 people, pitchers on their everybody. It seemed like everybody who could throw a baseball for the Milwaukee Brewers as a pitcher was on the injured list to start the year.
Oh, good.
Yeah, not fantastic necessarily.
Yeah.
Not a real, real great way to start your season, but Brandon Woodruff's on the injured list. Robert Gasser's on the injured list. After his first start of the year, Aaron Civale, their number three pitcher, also on the disabled list.
Oops.
Yeah, oops. All over the place. They're starting. They started. Oh, what the heck is the guy's name even? They're starting a guy named Chad Patrick today. Has a career ERA of zero. It's his major league debut. He was not great in spring training. It's really hard to get excited about the Brewers at this point in the year, but even if they were 4-0, like they were last year to start the season, I said the same thing at the four-game mark. At 4-0, it's like they scored a touchdown in their opening drive, and now they're going to win the Super Bowl. And that didn't happen for the Brewers. They did win their division after coming out. They were ahead by like 10 games last year to start the year. They're not going to start the year in first place by 10 games. It certainly does not appear that way.
I don't feel bad. The Twins are at 0-4 as well.
Are they also?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We've got. All right. We're equal. Then we're right there.
There so. Is hopes for the postseason game.
Good. I mean, eventually they'll play each other at some point this year, so yeah. Somebody will have to have won a game, which is
you think so?
You know, they can't. You can't tie in baseball. So yes, 100%. No, the Brewers and Twins starting out at 0-4 apiece isn't. I can't name you five Minnesota Twins at this point in the year. I'm not going to try.
Yep.
Because you know they're going to go 0-162, so I don't have to sweat it.
Byron Buxton, Carlos Correa.
Okay. All right. That is Carlos Correa. I remember a couple of years ago was extremely well paid.
Yeah.
And now he's
Willy Castro.
Oh nope, doesn't ring a bell. Nothing. No, there's a couple positives to take away from the Brewers just a little bit. Bryce Terang has 4 hits in 15 at-bats. That's kind of nice. He's, he was their best hitter in the beginning of the year last year. Sal Frelich has hit safe in all 4 games. He's got a 4-game hitting streak. He's walked. He looks good. But again, when you're losing games by football scores,
yeah.
When I saw the score was 20-7, and it was not the Giants versus the Packers. I had some real questions about what I was watching. It was one of those games where Jake Bowers, the first baseman, DH, actually has at this point in the year the lowest ERA of anybody on the team because he pitched one inning and didn't give up a run. He's not a pitcher. He's a first baseman.
No,
it's sure. Been that type of year so far. Okay. Chris Jackson Churio's not doing anything real fancy. When your highlight, when your best player is a guy named Isaac Collins, who a couple of years ago was a Rule 5 minor league player, like career minor leaguer.
Sure.
And now he's getting at bats and looking like an actual offensive player. At this point, if next week when we talk, they're sitting at, 1-7, I'm going to have some real concerns. If they, but I'm going to try to push that off for just a little bit. As a Brewers fan, I convince myself every single year that they're going to make the playoffs because they just do. They just find the relievers, they find the hitters from some scrap heap, and they make the playoffs.
But they're just like the your Badger basketball team, men's basketball team.
Yeah. No, it's the same track. It's the basketball team can win 20 games every year, finishes in the top half of the Big Ten, always makes the tournament. And except for that one time, inevitably lose a game or three early and leave you wondering, hey, I wonder what's going to happen next year to this roster. That's kind of exactly where the Brewers are at to start their year at a big old offer. The actual biggest thing that happened in baseball involved the Milwaukee Brewers and the New York Yankees. The New York Yankees hit 9 home runs in their first opening game. 9. Which was, I believe, the record for the most in a opening game or whatever. And baseball's 900 years old. So
sure.
That's a thing by itself.
Yeah.
But the Yankees' bats have been getting a ton of press. Did you catch anything? They've changed the shape of the bat. They call them torpedo.
No.
Where they're kind of skinnier in the middle and bigger on the end. It changes the sweet spot. You know, it was brought to the Yankees at a certain point last year. It was an MIT physicist and their hitting instructional guy, some guy with a PhD in aerodynamics, started tinkering around with bats and discovered, because the rules on what a bat is and isn't in the major leagues are they're left up to interpretation. They tell you the length, they tell you the size, and they tell you they have to be made of wood. So that's about it. So for 100 years, the bats have kind of sort of stayed exactly the same. They've moved with different kinds of wood. And now they've, in the last week, the New York Yankees have been hitting home runs like crazy. It's been the talk of baseball with these torpedo bats. And if you take a look at them, if you get a chance, they do look a little bit different.
Yep. They are fatter, more kind of on the end that it usually hits the ball.
Yes.
It tape narrower at the very end, and it gets a little fatter.
Yep.
Then narrower again.
Almost like a bowling pin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, almost.
And what it does is it's supposed to create where when you hit the ball in the sweet spot, like your little flare shot is going to be a little more square. It's going to land in instead of out because the bat's a little bit lighter by an ounce. And, as these baseball players, it's kind of like a knife.
Are the Yankees the only one using it?
Currently, yes. Except for a guy, L.A. De La Cruz, I think is his name for the Reds. He's their shortstop. He's their best player. He broke it out the other day, and he hit, I believe it was 2 home runs in the first time he used it. Yeah, it was a, like I said, in baseball, it takes nearly an entire year to look at trends and to know, like when they changed the pitch clock, it took an entire year to realize, oh, they've shaved 30 minutes off of this baseball game.
And they all complained about it, and nobody's complaining about it now.
Correct. Now everybody does it and appreciates the speed of the games a little better when they changed the size of the base. And that was thought, it's going to increase steals, and it has, and it's going to change the game, and it has, and it hasn't, but it's equal playing field for everybody. This bat thing is going to, I think, take on real quick. I don't think there's anything that Major League Baseball as an entity can do to say no, because it's the rules. The rules of baseball are the rules of baseball. They really treat them like they mean something. They don't change rules in baseball for hardly anything.
Okay.
But this torpedo bat has been,
or it's luck right now.
You know, yes and no. It when you've got players who are longtime players, Rhys Hoskins, the first baseman for the Brewers, was their home run leader last year. Had a down year, but he's a traditional 30 home run a year guy. He said he can't wait to use it. It'll be interesting to see what that does to the game. For a team like the Brewers, who don't hit home runs at all and aren't expected to be a power team, to be able to scrape up another, 15, 20 home runs in a season would really make a difference.
Would it, though, if everybody else is doing the same thing?
Yes, because their biggest deficiency is hitting. Their best strength is their bullpen.
You know what I'm saying, though?
I do, yes. Does it give the chance to make every game a basically like a MTV Rock and Jock basketball
game? Like a
90s game?
Yeah. On steroids?
Correct. Is
home run contest?
It's 17 to 12 every single game, and now you're back to four-hour games because now it's just all home runs again. Maybe, but also, like I said, if it's a thing where only one team is using it and they seem to be ahead of
the curve,
you're going to see other teams not want to be behind the curve. So I am very, very much interested. That'll be an all year kind of story with baseball, because like I said, in the sport of baseball, they never change anything. It's been the same setup, the same gloves, the same bats, the same pitching mound for 50 years.
Sure.
That was actually the biggest story of baseball, and that'll be, like I said, that'll continue. If this continues as a trend, you're going to just see one day everybody's going to have them, and then you'll really find out if it made a difference.
Sure.
So that, like I said, that's the biggest baseball story early in the year when you're looking for one.
Okay, what's next? NCAA double basketball, March Madness? I mean, it's not a big deal, but all number ones are in the Final Four.
I mean, it is.
Because so for people that didn't know what to do when they're figuring out and writing out their bracket, just said, I'm just going to do all the rankings.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people with brackets left.
Yeah, if you just decided the teams with the best players, that's who I'm going to, yes, 100%. These are the most talented rosters in basketball are arguably these four teams with
Florida.
Florida. Playing against Auburn. Florida is a number one seed. They've got tons and tons of talent. They recruit really well. They've handled the NIL really well. They've got juniors and seniors that have been McDonald's All-Americans.
Isn't that the same, though, with all these teams for the most part? I mean,
yes.
You know?
I mean, Auburn is coached by maybe my favorite college coach is Bruce Pearl.
Sure.
Back in my day, he coached the University of Milwaukee to, I believe it was a Final Four. I think he took a UW-Milwaukee squad to either a Final Four or an Elite Eight. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
100%. It was a long time ago, but then he went from there to...
He went bounced around.
Kind of bounced around, but he ends up at Auburn for the last couple of years. Yeah. And they've done transfers really, really well.
NIL.
They've handled this NIL thing. They've also before the NIL, they got in trouble for recruiting for illegal benefits recruiting wise.
Oh, so they're already there doing.
They're ahead of the curve too.
Hey,
yes.
Well, good job, guys.
Yeah, way to go, Bruce. but they have the National Player of the Year in Joanny Broome. He's a fifth year, maybe even a sixth year senior. He's your prototypical college, 4 year start. Sure. Your player of the year generally in college is that guy who's been around for 6 years in college. He's bigger, stronger, more experienced than everybody, playing for a great program. Yeah, I really like that. That's a great matchup. That is two teams that are in the same conference. They're both in the SEC. So they've got enough familiarity going against each other where that one feels great. And on the other side, you've got Duke going up against, help me out here.
Houston.
And Houston over the last, they've got an NBA coach. Kelvin Sampson is their head coach. Kelvin Sampson used to coach for the Bucks.
No, everybody's coached for the Bucks.
Yeah, that's true. But he coached the Bucks when, yes, he's a former NBA coach. I think he played in the NBA. He's been a coach for a very, very long time, coaching a Houston team that has, same thing. They've got McDonald's All-Americans. They've figured out this transfer portal. But they play tough defense. They play really, really good defense. They play, when you watch Houston plays just a different tempo. Like, the way they play defense is aggressive. It's every possession. It's something you really have to instill as a coach, but it's also something you have to recruit. You have to find the guys who will be juniors and seniors in college, who will stay at your university and just play defense. But that's how you end up winning 30 games in a season. That's how you end up winning your conference. That's how you end up going up against Duke in the Final Four. And Houston, I think they've been in the Final Four now a couple years out of the last few. Duke is coached by, and Duke's really easy if you're a casual sports fan.
They've always seemed like they're always in it.
Their brand, yes. Nope, since some of the biggest moments in college basketball have happened with Duke University at the helm. The Christian Laettner turnaround jumper to win a championship. You've seen 1,000 times, if you've just accidentally watched basketball, you've seen that. You've Grant Hill. You've seen Zion Williamson for Duke. Mike Krzyzewski great, the best coach of all time, maybe of any sport on any level, is the former Duke coach.
Okay.
And they're the same. Mike Krzyzewski retired, I don't know, 2-3 years ago, something, replaced by John Shire. John Shire was a Duke graduate, 4-year player, played a couple of years in the pros, but was just a really smart guy, And now he's the head coach after being an assistant coach at Duke. And they are recruiting the same way they've always recruited. Even before the NIL, Duke has known how to get the best players every year. Every year, no matter what, Duke's going to get 4 or 5 of the best high school seniors in the league to come and play there. And most of the time, it's to play for 1 year. But every single time, it's to play for a national championship. And this team is no different. They have the best player in college, or the best freshman. He'll be the number one pick in the draft. His name's Cooper Flagg. He is great. He's like watching Scottie Pippen.
He's a freshman, right?
He's a freshman. Yep. He's supposed to be a senior in high school, but he reclassified. So he's a really young freshman in college.
But he looks like he's a veteran. Like, he's been playing
He plays like he's been there before. Yeah, he's got a feel to the game that would just come from being an old. He's got the old school mentality. Sure. I watched a lot of 90s and early 2000s NBA, and he's got that Kevin McHale. He's got that Larry Bird. He's got that just steady Scottie Pippen. Pippen was the second best player on Bulls teams that won 70 games. He just did everything. He could guard, he could pass, he could shoot. Good teammate, sets the right screens, communicates on defense. It's the same thing I'm watching Cooper Flagg do.
Sure.
The roster he's got at Duke is unbelievable. If I was looking at it right, there's at least
a lot of people off the bench that can score and just do a lot of different things, if I remember right.
Yeah, they've got
one of the only teams that, I mean, Florida is close to that, from where I remember right. But yeah, Duke is like really deep.
Got McDonald's All-Americans that are sophomores.
Duke should.
Always do. They've got the best big man in the draft coming up, also goes to Duke. His last name is Malouk. His first name is something that I'm not going to try to mangle and mispronounce, but he's an incredible, athletic, big man.
Okay.
Also, a player who last year played high school basketball in Wisconsin, Con Knapel is his name.
God bless you.
Yeah, Gesundheit. Yeah, he's a great shooter. He's like a 45% from 3-point, 6'5". He'll be a top 10 pick in the draft. Also, He's one of those players, and it happens every once in a while, where a player will play for high school in Wisconsin, and you think, oh, man, can you imagine if he played for the Badgers? Tyler Hero was like that. He plays for the Heat. He went to Whitnall High School in Milwaukee, went to Kentucky, where he was a top three or top five pick. He would have been the best player that Wisconsin had ever seen, but he was never going to go to Wisconsin. It happens.
NIL really makes sure of that.
Yeah, the Badgers don't have the deep pockets that a Kentucky has. They also don't have the ability to look a guy in the eye and say, if you come here, you're going to go to the NBA.
Right.
There's almost a certainty when you go to a place like that that you're NBA caliber, you're getting NBA coaches, NBA eyes on you, you're going to play as a pro.
Okay.
So my pick then, we go, it'll be Auburn versus Duke.
Okay.
And I'm going to say Auburn. I've been wrong about every single pick that I've made in college basketball this year. But, I really like the experience of I think he's like 23, but he's old. He's an old man in a college game. I like how that plays. There's other players on Auburn, obviously, but I like how that goes. And I don't root against Duke like I should.
Sure.
I don't root against them like I root against Ohio State, Minnesota of any sort, but I do 100%. I don't want them to win, but man, that Duke team is super talented.
Sure.
So it'll be a fun game to watch. It's always a fun Sunday, and I want to say it's Sunday, Tuesday will be the final four games on a Sunday, and then we roll in, or Saturday, it's one of the two, and then we roll into Saturday, Monday,
it's
either Monday, Tuesday is that championship game. I will absolutely be excited to watch that. It's,
sure.
It's one of my favorite. Because it kind of ends, it does. That ends the season for me. So, yeah, that'll be next week. We'll get to talk all about that.
Okay.
There was one other interesting thing that happened in basketball.
Yep.
I was flipping through the channels yesterday.
Okay.
And I came across I think it's called it's like the Under Armour something or other game, but I'm going to call it the McDonald's All-American.
Sure.
Because for all my life, this was called. It was a McDonald's All-American game. It was the best high school players in the country, boys and girls, all come together. And, you know, it might be Vegas. It might be not really sure where they play. But they have a game, dunk contest, three-point contest. They played Lightning, which for anybody, if anybody here ever played high school gym, you've definitely played Lightning, where you shoot the three, then the guy behind you shoots. And if you miss the three, you got to make it before the next guy makes his, or you're out. Is that they did that? Not cross the border?
No.
Okay. Well, fair. But this year at the McDonald's All-American game, is that it's always those, you know, the players who go to the McDonald's All-American game are always. They're going to be next year's like number one pick. They're going to be. It's Anthony Davis. It's LeBron James. It's Carmelo Anthony. Basically, Zion Williamson, if you were or are a top five pick in the NBA, almost 100% chance that you were also a McDonald's All-American.
Sure.
And this year, it was double interesting to me, because not only are they fun games to watch, because you do realize, like, oh, yeah, that's what a pro looks like. At 18, 17 years old, these guys are, and the women too. Some of the women are they can shoot like nobody's business. Then the guys can dunk like they're NBA players.
Yeah.
And then I started running through the list of the players and realized I recognized a ton of names.
High school
players. I recognized the last names.
Oh,
it came across that they're like Cameron Boozer is the number one recruit in college this year. His twin brother is also going to be he's like a top 10 recruit. They're both going to Duke next year.
Okay.
Who's Carlos Boozer.
Oh.
Carlos Boozer was a long, long time, wouldn't say he was a star in the NBA, but he was an all-star a couple times. Played with LeBron James at Cleveland.
Didn't he play in Miami too? Didn't he go? Maybe I'm playing somebody else.
You are thinking of, yes.
I'm thinking of Chris Bosh.
You are thinking of Chris Bosh. Nice job.
Thanks.
But he went to Duke. He was a, you know, played back in his day, which was the late 90s. You played for more. Yeah, you played for more than a year. You didn't transfer around. He was there for two or three years at Duke, but he was a, you know, highly drafted player.
Okay, who else?
His sons are, like I said, the number one and like number 10, and their team is the best team in high school.
Okay,
Kai and Anthony. You recognize the last name.
Carmelo.
Carmelo Anthony's kid. Yeah, Carmelo Anthony's.
We're to that point now that we're old enough.
Yeah.
That those stars that we grew up with are having kids now.
Correct.
And doing what they.
And it makes you think, like, no way. There's no way Carmelo Anthony can have a kid.
Yeah, he was in the league forever, though.
Carmelo Anthony was in the league 20 years.
I mean, it's like LeBron James. It'd be like saying, Bronny.
I can't believe my own kid is 20-something. You know, it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That's valid.
Carmelo Anthony was one of the best players of his generation, one of the best scorers we've ever seen. His son is a 6'5 shooting guard, one of the best players in the country.
No pressure for these kids.
And, of course, he's also playing at Syracuse next year, too, just like his son, or just like his dad.
Sure. Who else?
Marcus Spears Jr.
Oh.
Marcus Spears was a longtime Cowboy. He was a first-round pick of the Cowboys. He was a defensive end.
Yep.
This guy, Marcus Spears Jr., his mom was a number 7 pick overall in the WNBA.
Okay.
He's a sophomore. He's the number 3 sophomore in the country. Jermaine O'Neal Jr. Jermaine O'Neal the first was straight out of high school, second round pick of the Blazers, one of the better defensive players. Jermaine O'Neal. Played for the Pacers. Where he really got in the playoffs was with the Pacers. He had a headband. Does that help?
No.
He's very tall. Had a headband. No.
Headband and tall. You bet. In the 90s?
Yeah. You remember? He was on a basketball court. No. Yeah. Andre Iguodala the second.
Yep.
The Elijah Arenas. Gilbert Arenas' kid.
Jeez.
Also. Yeah, wow. Right? Jackson Richardson. His dad, Jason Richardson, was a 2-time back-to-back slam dunk champion. Played for Michigan State in college. Went to the Final Four. Played for the Warriors. Played for a ton of teams. Yeah, I just thought it was really, really, really interesting. Just how old I am.
Well, it's now it's the same in the NFL when we're seeing Shedeur Sanders, Deion Sanders' son.
Marvin Harrison Jr. There's no way that Marvin Harrison Jr. could be like, no, yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Archie Manning next year.
Correct. Archie Manning, Peyton Manning's nephew of all things.
Eli's kid.
Oh, man alive. That's how old we are. But it kind of brings, you know, it's fun to watch then. You get to see this, like,
I remember
watching his dad. He's not half the player his dad was.
1 minute left, by the way.
1 minute left. Dude, we didn't even get to talk about the owners' meeting.
Yeah, I know. A lot of things happened in that meeting today.
Yeah, the owners got together in Palm Beach and
we'll
decided.
We'll talk about it next week, I guess.
I guess we'll have to. Yeah, we'll also get to talk about how the Bucks should have fired their coach.
Again?
But still didn't. I woke up, it's April Fool's Day today, and I woke up and saw a post that they had fired Doc Rivers, and I was so excited, and then I realized what day it was. I fell for it again. Yeah, they could have, they should have. They gave up 145 points yesterday. Didn't win.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, not
who'd
great.
Who'd they play?
Oh, not a playoff team. It was Memphis, I think. Something like, yeah, not a team that they should have given up 145 points to.
Less than 30.
No way.
Yeah.
This is a great show.
Yeah.
This is a great show about nothing. That was nice. Nice work. Yeah, we
nailed it. Sell it.
I enjoyed every minute of this. I bet you did too. You look pretty happy.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, man. Thanks for WDRT for unlocking the doors. Thanks to you for sitting there, pressing buttons.
Yay.
Saying that. That was good stuff out of you. I hope everybody has a great weekend. See you soon. Bye.